That was weak. Good early morning. Empty. Empty. Learning to refuel ourselves, learning to refresh ourselves through rest. Let me tell you what, there's something that we're missing today is rest. This message today is basically learning how to rest, not during this sermon, but after the sermon. Learning how to rest. We go and we go and we go and we've dropped our boundaries and we've just accumulated a lot of stuff. We are so obligated to do things that we really forget what we're meant to do. Listen, we've got our kids in some great things. We go to wee ball and t-ball and softball and baseball. We've got them in football and basketball and anything with a ball and karate. And we've got them in music. We've got them lined up all over the place. And we never catch up with who we are. We lose sleep. We lose restful moments. We just go, we go, we go, we go, and we go. And we're just empty. We're drained of energy. We're depleted of resources. Our mind is tired. Our body is weary. That's just who we've become. But it doesn't have to be that way. You see, all those things are choices. All of them. They're choices. There are things that we have to do, and there's things that we just simply choose to do. And somehow we get all that bunched up and mixed up, and we're just doing everything, everything, everything. And we don't sleep enough. We don't rest enough. And all the stories about Jesus in the Gospels, man, there's miracles. There's wonderful things and teachings he brought out. But you rarely hear a message about the times that Jesus just chilled out. That he just rested. And I want to share with you today a message. One of many in the Gospels where Jesus saw best to rest. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. Empty. When you need to be refueled through refreshing your body and your soul. Charles Spurgeon said, "Rest time is not waste time. It is economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furlough. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less." Mark chapter 6. You realize in Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray." Often slip away. Now, I want that to set the precedent that we find in Scripture that Jesus thought it valuable time to slip away from everything, all the obligations, everything out there, and simply rest. Jesus took breaks from his task at hand to rest and be refueled. And he taught his disciples to do the same. Mark chapter 6, verse 6 through 12, and then we skip over to verse 30 and 31. "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits." So now he gives his disciples instructions to go out two by two. And these were his instructions. He said, "Take nothing for your journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." And they went out and preached to people should repent. They drove out demons and anointed many people, sick people with oil and healed them. Let's move over to verse 30. And the apostles gathered around Jesus. Now they'd gone out on their journey and they ministered for days and days and then they came back. The apostles gathered around Jesus, reported to him all that they had done and taught. So they had many stories. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, so he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Let's pray together. Father God, today we read about the great and wonderful things that you did through your own teaching and through the disciples. But one little verse, oftentimes, God, we want to skip over. And God, that means so much to us today. God, we've busied ourselves so much that we've even forgotten about you in many times, many places of our life. Lord, today I pray you forgive us. God, that we're running this body ragged and not taking the time we need to be refreshed as your word teaches. Help us today, God, to find value in this message. Move by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Jesus sent out his disciples. They were excited to be back on the job. They saw Jesus do all these miraculous things that Jesus had anointed them to do it. So he sent them out two by two. So there were six groups going out to villages and towns all around, and they began to teach and to heal and present the gospel, and lost people were being saved, and sick people were being healed, and demons were being cast out, and listen, marriages were being saved, and homes and families were being restored. All of these things that took place, all these miraculous things. You know what? They were excited. They were excited to come back to Jesus and tell their story. You know, when you've been out fishing and you've caught the big one or you've caught a lot, you have stories you want to come back and tell. And sometimes those stories got real big. These disciples wanted to come back and tell their stories to their teacher. They came back, and I can imagine, boy, they're excited and wanting to share their stories. And in verse 31, Jesus says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place, boys, and get some rest. You're tired. You haven't eaten. Jesus knew the value in rest to refuel the body and refresh the soul. Jesus knew that these guys were out there on task, on duty, and they were exhausted. He said, let's get some rest. Listen, what we can gain from that is we're busy about life. We're doing our job, or we're at it. We're focused. We're in the moment. We're making the paycheck. We're fulfilling the purpose that God has called us into this life. But that we don't turn the switch off. Why? Because we go home and it's task, task, task. We go to the ballpark, it's task, task, task. Even our vacation becomes work. Because we've got this big old list of stuff that we want to do. And we never turn our engine off long enough to rest. It was said you don't burn out doing the right things. You burn out because of what you don't do. See, most of the time we focus on the miraculous stories about Jesus. But we have to understand that Jesus was wise, the wisest man and teacher who ever lived. And he was wise enough to know that the body, God in the flesh that he was, but his body still needed rest. His mind still needed to be on pause for a little while. We too can get so absorbed that by doing that we ignore the being part of Scripture. So there's several lessons I don't want to share today from this passage. First lesson is this, is that people and problems drain our energy. That there are people and there are problems that drain our energy. There are some people who just zap it real quick, and there are some people who drain it real slow. But problems and problematic people absorb our energy. Listen, they may even not be problematic people. It's just trying to work all day long, the tug and pull of a job or in family and wherever it may be, it can just deplete our energy. See, the demands on us have a depleting effect on our body and soul. Our soul is our mind, our emotions, and our will. It has a depleting effect on us. We see in verse 12 and 13, it says, they went out and they preached to the people that they should repent. And they drove out many demons and they anointed sick people with oil and they healed them. See, these disciples were so tired from the activity of ministry. Scripture records that they ministered to many. Matter of fact, verse 31 says, they didn't even get a chance to eat. They were so busy. How many of you have skipped meals because you won't stop long enough at your work to go eat? When your body needs fuel, your brain needs it for functioning, but you won't give yourself a break. Oh, I can't. I have all this to do. No, you don't. It'll be there when you finish eating. The demands on the disciples had taken its toll on them. I kind of wonder if Jesus sent them out not only to give them a taste of ministry and kind of branch them off away from him, preparing them from when he is no longer here, but also to help them see the cost in ministry, to help them see the cost of the task that will lie ahead of them. The places where disciples were working without rest simply drained their energy. We also see in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 30, there's an account of this sickly woman. Let's see how people can drain us. There's this account of this sickly woman who had an issue of blood for years, and she had spent all of her money on medicines and doctors, and nothing had ever heard help. She heard that Jesus was coming through town, and when she heard that Jesus was coming through town, she wanted to see him. She wanted to see him for him to touch her. So she followed the crowd in the town, and she was riding among the crowd, and she was kind of meandering her way up to where Jesus was at. And as he passed by, she just reached out as far as she could, and she grabbed his garment and touched it. And she was healed immediately, the Bible says. Jesus stopped, and all this sea of people around him, looking around, he said, "Who touched me?" Because he'd felt the energy leave his body. And of course, his disciples said, "What do you mean, who touched me?" Look at all these people, Jesus. There's a lot of people rubbing against. He said, no, there's one. Then he identified this lady. What can we learn from that? This biblical proof of the reality that others can literally pull the energy from our being. Literally pull the energy out of us. Jesus realized that power had gone from him. And maybe you too, this morning, you feel drained. You realize that the power has gone from you, has depleted out of you. You're just existing because people and problems and obligations have pulled everything out of you. The demands in you are zapping everything that you have. You feel like a hollow human being even this morning. Dale Carnegie said, "Our fatigue is often caused not by work, but by worry, frustration, and resentment." Sometimes we do our work well, but man, just all the things that go on, the stress with it, it just drains us. And we see literally, even in Jesus' life, in his ministry, that people pull the power out of him, so much so that Jesus noticed there was a power difference in him. And maybe today you look over back over the last week or month or 6 months or year or 2 years and you realize that you're just drained. People have just literally pulled it out of you. You're not sleeping. If you do, you literally pass out for 1 or 2 hours and you're right back up, worried, stressing, frustrated. So we realize that we're tired. The second lesson we learn is that we need to prioritize taking care of ourselves. We need to prioritize taking care of ourselves. Listen, it's not always about other people. You know, we're taught to love others as we love ourselves, but if we're not loving ourselves, it's real hard to love other people the way that God wants us to. See, we're created with this innate need to rest, relax, refresh ourselves in order to function at our best. We're created with this need for rest and relaxation. Listen, even if it's a stay-at-home vacation, we need time off and not fill that one up. That staycation is what they call it when you're in Louisiana. If you stay, it's called staycation. Even if we're on a staycation, it's not to fill it all up with busyness. We've seen verse 31, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus believed in getting ample amounts of rest so that he could function at his best. Jesus did not think getting rest and relaxing was and having fun with his friends was something to feel guilty about. There's many of us in here this morning that feel guilty if we take a day off and do nothing but lay around the house. We feel guilty when the laundry needs to get done, the house needs to be washed, the grass needs to be cut. We take a day off just to work, and we never shut down. Many of us stop one task just to pick up to do another task. It means catching up on the laundry and washing and cleaning the vehicles out, cutting the grass, trimming the hedges, checking off the honey-do list. That's a day off. And we go back to work more tired than we left. It's not fulfilling the rest requirement that our body and our mind, our emotions need. We make time off just another time that we can work on stuff. Our bodies and our minds stay engaged in work all the time. And when we need the rest, we must take leisure time, make it a personal priority. Where we are not stressing to complete another task. Man, you take that day off, so I just need to cut the grass. And you cut the grass, and you realize, well, I need to weed eat. So you start weed eating. Next thing you know, look at the hedges. Go back, trim the hedges. Well, I need to cut that limb down. And before you know it, it's dark. And you spent the whole day in the hot sun, and your body is drained. Your yard looks good, but you don't look so good. Or ladies, that day off from work, you finally say, look, I can mop those floors. I can do this laundry. I've been watching that little spider web for 2 weeks now, and I'm going to get it. And we want to dust the windows and clean up. We want our house to look wonderful. And before we know it, it's dark. And your family's looking at you, where's supper? And you're just drained. To where you almost hate to take a day off because you feel like you are obligated to work to your day off. Not getting any many amens, but listen, give yourself permission to do something enjoyable besides work. Shut your task-oriented motor off before it shuts down on you prematurely. You're stressed, you're stretched, you're running on empty. You say you need a break, but you will not prioritize it in your life to take one. Listen, no one owns you. You are you. Take the day off. Take some time for yourself to be refreshed. That's what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us it's a priority in our life. If we don't shut down, then we're not good for anything. We're just hollow. We begin to hate and resent our job. We don't want to spend time with family. We don't want to do this. All the things we used to enjoy, we don't like them anymore. Why? Because we don't shut down our motor long enough to relax. See, you are needed, but when you're empty, you have nothing to offer. The world needs what you can bring it. So rest, relax, and be refreshed through leisure time. Realize you cannot do everything. And listen, that's hard. I'm preaching to myself. This message came out of preaching to myself over the last few weeks. Some things I learned and some things I'm still learning. So listen, we're walking this together. This is not me up here. I should be down there talking. Because here we are in this together, trying to do too much. Jesus took care of himself through resting and getting away from the crowds. And Mark 4, verse 33 through 31 through 41 tells of the account where Jesus had been teaching. And he and his disciples were tired. And they got in the boat and they went across the lake. And there were several boats with them. And right in the middle of the lake, a storm came up out of nowhere. You remember that story and the waves started tossing the boat. Where was Jesus? Jesus had got on that boat to take a nap. He was sleeping on a cushion in the stern of the boat. And all the waves pushing and the boat was being tossed to and fro, going nowhere. And the disciples were scared because he was taking on some water. And they were afraid they were going to sink. And they wake him up. Master, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? I can just see Jesus getting up from the, you know, from a good hard sleep, hair kind of messed up. Come on, let's be real. Hair's kind of messed up, eyes kind of red, bloodshot from being sleeping. Guys, what now? Lord, we're gonna drown here. I can see Jesus just standing up on a boat best he could, waving, you know, rocking in a wave. Be still. And immediately the winds died and the waves went away. There's a lesson that we can learn from that. Is your life doesn't have to be free of storms, troubles, and stressful situations in order for you to get the rest that you need. Because I imagine Jesus went right back to bed right as he shut down the storm. He shut down the storm not because he needed it. He shut it down because the rest of them were scared. But Jesus went to sleep. You and I will rest better, just like Christ, knowing that things will be okay when we go to rest, knowing that God is in control of it all. We'll rest better when we realize that we cannot control everything and the people around us and the situations around us. Too often we're so worried when we go to bed at night. We're so stressed that we wake up 2 hours later worrying about the situation. Can we just as Christians say, listen, I can't fix it. I can't do anything about it, God. Here it is, it's all yours. Help me not to go back to sleep and dream about it now. Henry Emerson Fosdick said this, says, he who cannot rest cannot work. He who cannot let go cannot hold on. He who cannot find footing cannot go forward. Rest helps us focus our attention from activity to relationship. Rest that Jesus himself needed, and he tried to teach his disciples that. Listen, if we can gain anything from these stories, that it's okay to shut our motor off a little while and get some rest because we'll function better when we do. The third lesson is that in our resting, we need to reconnect with other people. Get off our task-oriented self and reconnect with family, with friends. See, personal relationships with friends and family are vital to our health and our sense of well-being. God created us for a relationship with others. We are social creatures who need people in our lives that recharge us. Think about the Ten Commandments. It's all about relationship. The first four are about our relationship with God. The next six are about our relationship with one another. God values relationships. Verse 31, Jesus is talking to his disciples to come with me. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Jesus enjoyed being with his disciples. Not only was he's their mentor and their teacher, their rabbi, but he was also their friend. And he liked hanging out with these 12 guys. Jesus had this balance of priorities that we need to learn and grow from to incorporate into our own lives. So we know troubles drain us. We know we need to spend time for ourselves, resting and relaxing, doing things that we enjoy doing, but we also need to know that we need to reconnect with other people. There are some friends in our life that we need to get connected back to and hang out with. They're good for us. Jesus was totally in the task at hand when he ministered to people. When he was on a job, listen, he was completely in the moment. Yet he often slipped away to rest and be refreshed. And sometimes those were alone times, and other times getting away with his friends. It says in one scripture that Jesus liked to go to celebrations. He liked to go out and hang out with his friends at wedding receptions. He liked to go to places and just have a good time. Some of you looking at me like, Jesus had a good time? Yeah, he did. Believe it or not, our friends add value to our life and they recharge our emotional batteries. They make us laugh at life and laugh at ourselves. We hear their stories and we share our stories too. We may even cry together because we feel safe not to be judged or rejected. Our friends give us the freedom to exhale all the things that have been keeping bottled up inside of us. That's what good friends do for us. They let us be us. They let us kind of put our hair down, so to speak. They let us just share what's going on in our life. Listen, they'll cry with us, they'll laugh with us, and they'll laugh at us in a good way. Because we're going to laugh at them too. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Listen, if all we have is pressure and all we have is stress and we're just stretched out, listen, we have a broken spirit. We have a broken spirit because we're not enjoying life anymore. We're not enjoying what we're doing. We're not enjoying our family time. We need to get away and we need to spend some time with friends who build us up. People, spend time with people who add value to us, people who bring joy to our lives, and we can give who can give us a good jolly belly laugh. Have you ever laughed so hard that your sides hurt and that your jaws were numb because you were laughing so much? That's the kind of laugh we need, and that's the kind of people we need to hang out with. We need that. Laughter is a means to improve your health and sense of well-being. Research shows that laughter is a powerful antidote to stress and conflict. Laughter. I believe Jesus laughed a lot. I believe he and his disciples had a good time laughing and enjoying one another's company. You see, nothing works faster or more dependably to bring your mind, body, and your emotions back into balance than a good laugh. Humor lightens you, lightens your burdens and inspires hopes, connects you with others, and it keeps you grounded and focused and alert. It helps release anger and be more forgiving. Laughter, it gives much power to heal and renew our spirits. Hanging out with those friends and just having some good laughs, those good times. We need it. We need to shut everything out and just hang out and be in the moment with those friends. The ability to laugh easily and frequently is a tremendous resource to help us resolve problems with a clear mind, build and enhance our relationships. Laughter with our friends and our family is priceless medicine. Here's what Lawrence Robinson said, laughter relaxes your body. Do you know after a good laugh that your body is relaxed for the next 45 minutes? So you need to laugh every hour. Find something humorous. Be with those friends. And laugh. Laughter boosts the immune system. Laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells, infection-fighting antibodies. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins, those feel-good chemicals in the body. Laughter protects the heart. It burns calories, just for you to know. Laughter lightens anger's heavy load. Listen, you can be angry with someone, and listen, if you find humor together in something, it sure does relieve the pressure a lot, that you can actually find common ground. Laughter may even help you live longer. Research has studied cancer patients and those with a good sense of humor, and those who laugh, those who bring humor, actually live longer than those who did not. Hanging out with friends, sharing laughter, it's one of the most effective tools for keeping relationships fresh and exciting. Sharing laughter with friends builds strong and lasting relationship bonds. Humor and playful communication strengthens our relationships by positive feelings and fostering emotional connections. And when we laugh with others, a positive bond is creating that wards off stress, disagreements, and disappointments. Laughing with friends helps you lower your defenses and expresses your true feelings. So when we spend time with playful people, those with good sense of humor, those who build us up, those who add value to us, it helps us in all of life's well-being. When we can laugh at ourselves and laugh at life's absurdities, listen, we have a fresh new look on where we're going and what we're doing. And we long for that time to spend with them again, connecting with others. Jesus spent time with these disciples. See, the Bible doesn't record every move they made, but I believe they were just good-natured guys. They just liked to have fun. They just liked to go out and not cause trouble with anybody, but just out having good time. Why can't we learn from what Jesus and the disciples have done that it's okay to shut the motor off? We don't have to go. We can shut it down with some friends and laugh and have a great time together. It does us well to rejuvenate our bodies, our minds, to refresh us, to go back to the real world to work. Laughter, Jared Kent said this, laughter is the sound of the soul dancing. C.S. Lewis said this, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. That's friendship and laughter. The fourth lesson that we can learn from this passage is growing your connection with God. Is not only did Jesus get away with his friends, not only did he have time to get alone, but he got alone with God. See, spending time with God through a quiet time of prayer and scripture meditation gives us a peace, brings clarity to our thoughts, and gives us a sense of closeness with God. We're so busy, we're stretched so thin that we've pushed God on a back burner. I wonder how many today in this service have read your Bible even this week, have read a devotion. How many of you really spent time in prayer? Listen, if we spent 20 minutes a day in God's Word, what a difference it would make in us. 20 minutes. Just read a little passage and meditate on it. Pray and ask God to be with you through the day. Pray for those around you. Pray for your own strength. Pray for those in the hospital. Spending time with God. And you know what? Sometimes just glorifying God. Just pray and thank Him for all the blessings that you've given. Not just on Thanksgiving Day in November, but we can do that every day. And sometimes God just wants us to sit there and listen and not say a word. Read His Word and just sit back and meditate on it. Bible says that Jesus slipped away for prayer in the wilderness. He worked, he rested, he relaxed with friends, he spent quality time with God. If Jesus held this priority in his routine, that yeah, he did work and he did rest, he got plenty of good sleep, and he had some leisure time alone but also with his friends, and he spent time with his Father, why can't we learn from just that example that our Savior gives to us, that our lives should reflect something like that? Not go, 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 and more going. I'm always amazed when people take a vacation and they like to put their pictures back on Facebook of all the fun things they did on vacation. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I said, I bet you they wore out now. They went on vacation and wore themselves out, and they got to go back to work Monday morning. They're tired. They're more tired coming back from vacation than they were going to vacation because we don't want to shut our motor off. Jesus held the priority in his routine of spending time with God. Quiet time for Jesus was a priority, and we too must get this right and prioritize God in our lives. Our soul will be refreshed, and peace will flood our very being. See, spending time with God puts everything else into perspective for us. Spending time with him. Spending time with the Creator who made us. Listen, I'm not saying you have to do an in-depth Bible study. I'm talking about you go, you find a passage of Scripture, and you begin reading it. You ask yourself two questions. What is God's Word saying? And what is God's Word saying to me? Because you want to keep it in the context that the writer read it. Two simple questions. Every passage you read, what does God's Word say? And then what is it saying to me? And you meditate on what God's Word is saying to you. Spending time with God. Charles Spurgeon said this, prayer should be the natural outflow of the soul. You must pray not because you set a time for praying, but because your heart must cry out to the Lord. What about you this morning? Are you go, 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 and not being able to shut down? Have you not been able to cut the motor off? Has your work days turned into 12 and 14 hours? And you're so tired when you hit the bed and you're worried about situations that you're not getting the ample sleep that you need. You're waking up several times during the night, worried about issues, worried about that. Somebody offers you to take the day off and take the time off. That just becomes another day to work around the house. Listen, all those things will be there. Know yourself, know your body, know when it's time to rest. Jesus knew when it was time to rest. And he would leave a crowd to get on a boat to go across a lake to sleep. He'd walk away from people knowing that there were great needs still there to take care of himself, because the only way he could take care of needs is if he was in good shape. Oh, what a lesson we can learn from this, is the only way that we can take care of the life that God has given to us is if we pause, push the pause button, and do the things necessary to take care of our mind, take care of our body, take care of our emotions. Then our will be intact to follow God and to fulfill the things that we've obligated ourselves to. Can you just do that? Just shut down, take a day off, take care of you, spend some time with your friends, and listen, take some time alone with just you and God. We call it quiet time. It's a time that is priceless to grow spiritually. And then you have balance in your life in every area, and God is going to work better and more efficiently, and you'll work more effectively for him. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, we thank you that you included in your word the times that you slept, the times that you rested. Because God, sometimes we forget that. And we rarely hear a sermon about it. We rarely hear that we need to just shut down and be instead of do. And Lord, today just teach us, God, how to take a day off this week and just relax. Lord, I pray today for your people. They look so tired, so weary from the go, go, go. Lord, teach us today to pause and enjoy this one life that you've given us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.